Money Radio, good afternoon, and thank you for joining us. Joining us now, pleasure to welcome Mark Stempler. He is a shareholder with Becker and Polyakov, and he is a government procurement attorney, which sounds like the perfect title to explain Buy American to us. Mark, thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Of course, when we say Buy American, we're specifically referring to an executive order issued just recently by President Trump entitled Buy American and Hire American. And that sounds like a great idea. I mean, most of us will hear that and go, yeah, sure, we should buy American and hire American. But it may be a little bit trickier than that. Explain to us what this executive order covers and where we are right now in this process.
Sure. Well, the executive order covers the Buy American and Hire American Act, like you said. The Buy American Act has been in place, though, since 1933. So it's something that's been on the books for some time. I'll tell you a little bit about the Buy American Act and then what this executive order does and focuses on. The Buy American Act doesn't prohibit the government from purchasing foreign materials for public contracts. Rather, it provides that the government must give a competitive preference to domestic materials. Now, it applies to service contracts, goods, supplies, where the government, the federal government, is acquiring materials for public use. It also applies to some construction contracts in certain contexts. The Act does not apply to purchases made below $2,500. It's more for $2,500 and above and generally for bigger ticket items. What the executive order that came down last week does is it makes the government agencies refocus on this Buy American Act. In other words, it requires the agencies to assess their enforcement, their implementation of the Act, and to make sure that the Act is doing what it was intended to do. I think the concern among those in the government and maybe some in industry as well is that the Buy American provisions are not always enforced on these federal public contracts that get procured through a competitive process.
And actually, this executive order doesn't do a whole lot. I mean, it orders the Secretary of State to issue guidance within the next couple of months. And then beyond that, the heads of agencies have about 5 months to see if they're actually keeping with that guidance. We've had this rule for a long time, and I'm not sure that everybody's keeping with the guidance of the Buy American Act, in part because it's probably kind of difficult to figure out what is really meant by Buy American. Do you do it by weight? Do you do it by value? Do you do it by hours required to produce a product? It's a little bit tricky, isn't it?
Yeah, that's correct. A lot of it focuses on where a product comes from, but as you've just kind of alluded to, that can be a tricky subject. A domestic end product could be something that's made in the U.S. where a 50% rule is sort of implemented under this act. So where the cost of the domestic components that make up this product is at least 50% of the total cost of all the components. In other words, if the cost of foreign components in any kind of a product is 50% or more, that product is called a foreign product, even if its major part is made in the U.S. But, of course, there are difficulties in that. Identifying what exactly the components are can be tricky. For example, if you had a vehicle engine, a piston would be a component of an engine, but the parts that make up the piston might not be considered components of the engine. So if the piston is foreign made or contains 50% more material from foreign countries and is part of this component, it might not fall into that category of foreign made because the piston was manufactured in the U.S. and then becomes part of this engine as a component. So you're right. It does get very tricky sometimes to figure out what is foreign and what is domestic. And government agencies have been looking at these issues for many years, as you point out. The trick now will be, now that this executive order forces these agencies to refocus on the Buy American laws and maybe implement them a little more strictly or more often than they have been, what will happen in the end? Will there be a net gain of domestic-made products, or will it result in a lot of fighting between disappointed bidders that aren't awarded contracts arguing that their products are foreign or domestic.
And that's the question for you. As a government procurement attorney, will bid protest over contract awards increase?
I think that they will, perhaps not immediately, but eventually. The executive order doesn't change the Buy American laws. It's just sort of like a refocusing on them and maybe a reinvigoration of them, but it doesn't change anything.
Will this end the practice of dumping, specifically Chinese steel?
Well, the executive order, I believe, does address that specifically, and it's hoping, one of its goals, rather, is to cure dumping. And dumping is the practice of, you know, flooding the market with a material such as steel, undercutting prices for, say, U.S. manufactured steel, and driving out competition so that the foreign steel might be the only game in town, so to speak.
Finally, was the executive order really more theatrics and symbolism than substance?
I think you can interpret it that way because it doesn't actually change the laws. It's really more of a refocusing of the agency's monitoring and enforcement and implementation of the laws. But clearly, this is one of President Trump's main focuses during the campaign, and that he's gone and executed an executive order based on this subject. You know, I think it will result in agencies looking at this a little more closely, and it has the potential of leading to changes down the road. What a lot of people probably don't understand is that a lot of foreign countries fall under this Buy American Act through trade agreements. So they get a preference, kind of like American products would get a preference. That's part of the law, and that's not really addressed in the executive order. Whether something like that would change down the road, that remains to be seen.
We shall see how this all plays out. My guess is that you will be a little bit more busy as a government procurement attorney. Joining us today, Mark Stempfler with Becker and Polyakov. Mark, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you for having me.